Jesus entered this village, where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, we're here in Bethany, the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, and so there's plenty of different passages we could reflect on. In fact, the Latin phrases along the apses of the different sections of the church are all phrases around Martha and Mary that Jesus said to them, right? You have the woman in the back who anointed Jesus' feet before his passion. That's traditionally held to be Mary, who spent money to buy expensive ointment and anoint his feet. Then you have the passage that we just read, "Lord, does it not bother you that my sister's left me?" And the Lord said to Martha, "Martha, solicita est et turbatis erga plurima," many things bother your heart, etc. Then you have Martha, he came to them, the conversation that they had around Lazarus, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." Martha, "I am the resurrection of the life. Whoever believes in me will not die but have eternal life," etc. And then the last one over there is him calling Lazarus out. So this place close to Jerusalem had many stories in the gospel of Jesus' relationship, and the one is what we read here. What I want to focus on, though, of all these stories, I think Khalid will probably focus more on the dialogue with Martha and Mary and Jesus coming and not coming in time to save Lazarus, but then raising him from the dead. I'll focus on this about worry. But first, focus on the friendship that Jesus had. As I prepared last night and prayed about this, the first thing that occurred to me is even Jesus needed friends. Even God needed friends, right? I was sharing with some of you conversations that I had through my time in Rome. I had the chance to actually have meals with all three popes. With even one would have been enough, right? But I got lucky enough. Well, dessert with John Paul II, it wasn't a full meal. I showed up with something and they were having dessert. And so Cardinal Givic invited me to join him for dessert. But one of the one I had the most opportunity to dine with is Pope Benedict, but more when he was a cardinal. I knew his secretary, and so we had plenty of opportunities for meals when he was less famous than he was when he was Pope, right? They would have meals together, and there was a small group of maybe 8 or 10 or 15 regular invitees that would come along and, for a group of 5 or 6 for dinner. Anyhow, one of the themes that he often would talk about is the importance of friends or mentors. And Pope Benedict always would like to ask the guest who was new at the table who most impacted their life to get them where they were today. He was always curious about, that was just one of his go-to themes. There are a few of them that you knew would probably come up, especially for the new person. And the fact is, so much of who we are and what we've become is thanks to those key relationships that have impacted us over the years. It's actually a great, if you're ever at a cocktail party and want to get to know somebody, that's a great question to ask. So tell me, who are the top three people that have influenced you to make you who you are today, right? Who are the key people? And for Jesus, people that he freely kind of chose as friends were Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. He wanted to be with them. He found relaxation with them. He spent time with them. And that's an amazing thing, to think that even Jesus needed friends, right? Sometimes it can be the presumption that it's a sign of weakness to need and to reveal our needs, right? oftentimes in couples, that's always a challenging part of the relationship, right? Is, hey, I need this. You have to admit a certain weakness and that I'm dependent on you to give me this, right? And God, for intimate relationships, that's an essential element. The definition of friendship, right? That the classic definition of Aristotle is to will the good of the other, right? A friend wills the good of the other, and not wills just in the sense of once. Like, oh, I know they like vanilla ice cream, so let's get them vanilla ice cream. I want their good. No, it's a deep, with the will for Aristotle and then for Plato and Thomas and Western cultures, I choose, I think about, and I choose, and I desire, and I will, and want your good over mine. Like, I want your good. If I have a free afternoon, finally, what do I do with it? Somebody, my friend needs me, I spend it for them and not for myself. Like, I will their good. It's much deeper. And Jesus is, you know, the ultimate friend then who wills our good over his own. And as spouses, we become the ultimate friend of our spouse when we will their good over our own. Parents, where you say you shouldn't be friends of your children, right? You have to be the parent. But the ultimate sign of the parental love is really willing the good of your child over your own. So Jesus had that attitude of friendship towards Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, and of course he has that towards us. So as we're heading into these days when tomorrow and the next day, and we're getting to the height of Jesus's love for us, his sacrifice for us, his giving his own life for us, we can pray about how much is Jesus then my friend? The one relationship whose good is most important to me, that I will the good of Jesus, of his kingdom. You know, it's like, seek ye first Christ and his kingdom, and then all these other things will be added. We know that Jesus is our friend. He makes us his friend. He prefers and pursues our good over his own to the point of death and going to the cross, but he also invites us to be his friend, right? To not worry about all these other things. You know, Martha, aren't you upset that my sister left me all this to do? He's like, she forgot, and I know some people don't want to give Martha a bad rap because she was serving and being hospitable, but it isn't, from the dialogue, it becomes evident that she lost sight of who she was doing it for, willing the good of Jesus. And the Lord focuses her on that again. All of this service is for me, right? And that's what's essential. That's what's important. So even Jesus wants us to want him. Jesus wants us to put him at the center, to serve him, not in an egotistical sense, but because he knows that as we do that, it's really what leads us to our greatest fulfillment in him, right? That's what the resurrection of Lazarus is also, I think, an event about, right? That because he's a friend of Jesus, friendship with Jesus eventually leads to resurrection. And the fact that he's delayed in getting there and he finally raises Lazarus from the dead, it's that death isn't the fulfillment of our relationship in Christ. Friendship with Christ isn't ultimately death. It's always and ultimately and will always end in life. There may be moments of death, moments of absence where Christ appears to not be there on time, appears to not, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Right? If you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. You know, if you were, then this wouldn't. And you could almost hear the Lord speak to us like, Martha, Martha, you're worried about the wrong. No, this will end in life. This will end in resurrection. You know, now it seems like it ends in death. This will end in life. And ultimately, our friendship with Christ, that's where it will land. We are all, you know, resurrected friends of Christ. And that's where he wants to lead us all. So as we are continuing on this trip, and we're going to focus on the Passion, no doubt, but this is a good stop before we get into that to understand and remember that all we're going to meditate on the Passion, death, and resurrection is to lead towards the resurrection of Christ for him and for us. So as we continue this Mass, let's pray for that hope-filled attitude towards the crosses in our life, towards the challenges of our life. Let's also pray that those challenges don't separate us from Jesus, that don't get in the way of our trust and confidence of God's power to bring resurrection and life through those crosses. Let's pray we continue to choose that friendship, which is the only thing necessary, and leave everything that's secondary aside and focus primarily on the Lord. And as we always do, let's keep an eye and a heart for others who are struggling with this, those who are lacking faith or whose crosses and challenges of their life are affecting their faith and their friendship with the Lord, that they would have that grace of perseverance and grace of trust to discover Jesus and discover the resurrection he's bringing about in their lives. Amen.